everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. My name is Jay Izzo, and I'll tell you what, we're live right here from Linda Craft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Today's show is going to be about commercial real estate. And because we do talk about all sorts of things related to real estate, but we've never done a commercial real estate show. Well, today is the day, because the truth of the matter is so many of you are interested in commercial real estate. You want to kind of understand it, what's going on. And by the way, what's going on with the market right now? Well, my guest is Rob Ward with HTR Commercial, and he's going to join us. He's going to kind of help answer some of those questions that I know that you have and I have in regard to commercial real estate. Rob, welcome to Real Estate Right Now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about just the state of the commercial market right now. Because I've been reading things. Office space. There's a lot of vacancies in office space, but where are we at in general with commercial real estate?
I think overall we're at a good place. I have a lot of clients that are looking for investment opportunities. Right. They're unsure of the stock market, and they have money that they want to place somewhere. So Right. They're looking for a good cap rate. They're looking for a good rate of return. Right. For those that don't know what a cap rate is. Right. They're looking for a good return on investment, but you're correct. The office market has taken a dive, you know, from the pandemic and people staying home and not really getting back in the workforce yet. Although we're seeing it come back, the office, the owners and the brokers that are representing office spaces are offering deals and incentivizing people to come back to do leases and to you know, help them get back into the workforce.
Right. So, all right, would it be safe to say, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I don't know for sure, but would it be safe to say that we're seeing, you're saying it's a comeback, but would it be safe to say that we're seeing it though there's concessions now maybe in the office space?
Correct. I just did a lease a couple weeks ago on a large office space, which we're seeing a lot smaller office spaces being leased out. People are downsizing the amount of office space they have. But I did 11,000 square foot office space with a 10-year lease.
Wow.
The concessions were six months of free rent and 1 year of 50% rent.
Oh, wow.
We did not see that pre-pandemic. Right. You know, they were asking top dollar for everything, and there were very little concessions, maybe some upfit.
Right.
And that includes, in that lease that I was talking about, includes upfit as well. So there was, that's quite a concession.
Right. Yeah, it's a bit, I mean, it's huge. I mean, 6 months free, 1 month, 50%, 1 year, 50%.
1 year.
50%.
50% lease.
Now, what about in other areas of the commercial market? Are we seeing some declines? Are we seeing what parts of the market are doing better than, I guess, or not doing as well?
You know, really the only one that I think is not doing as well as office. I'm seeing, you know, a lot of great properties that are flex space, warehouse space, a lot of opportunity in up and coming areas, multifamily. As we've talked about the you know, apartment complex around the road here, the loft apartments right around the corner here, there was some private equity that came in, made a purchase, but they utilized you know, private equity money, and they saw a value add. So they had a lot of unused land over there, so they ended up building more apartments. They come in and they revitalize, update the apartments, and bring the rent back up to market rate.
Now, I'm assuming this, and you correct me again, that when we look at multifamily, because at least in our area, we have a shortage of living space.
Absolutely.
So I'm imagining that they're paying a pretty high premium for multifamily right now.
They are paying over and above what market value is. I mean, some of the numbers blow my mind
really
at how high, but these private equity groups, you know, I mean, obviously they run the numbers and they say, if we add this many units and if we can bring the rent up to this, you know, it works for them. And it's all about, do the numbers work?
Right.
And we're seeing that across, you know, all over the place.
Well, I mean, I guess it falls in line with what we're seeing in residential real estate, where, you know, our values are continuing to increase. And because we're a shortage of living quarters, they're finding ways that they're counting on that it's also going to increase, right?
Correct.
Right. Now, I don't know if the percentages are equal, like in terms of how much equity we may get in a year. Let's say we're, you know, at 6% or maybe even more, you know, and I'm assuming that that's probably pretty close to the same rate.
Right now, we're looking at around a 6% return. You know, I have clients that are looking for investments, and anything north of 6%, they're interested in, or they want, you know, I run reports daily, weekly. Right. And it's interesting that the properties that come available that are 7% and above. So let me backtrack a little bit. So it's all based on security.
Okay.
So if I did last year, I did a PNC bank that had actually closed and went out of business, or closed down that space.
That branch.
They had another year left on their lease and they were still paying that rent. Well, that client ended up buying that. The cap rates go lower when there's a more stable, a national tenant, or a, you know, a doctor's office, a dental office, something that is, you know, secure. So the cap rates are like, okay, you're going to get a lower return on investment, but it's a very secure, safe investment.
Right, it's a safer investment.
The
right.
more the risk, you know, the higher the cap rate would be. And I guess I probably would need to explain what a cap rate is.
Yeah, go ahead.
So a cap rate is your investment divided by your rate of return per year. So if you were to buy a, let's say, $100,000 property and you were getting $1,000 a month in rent, that's $12,000 a year. That's a 12% return on investment. So you're seeing those, you know, so when a customer or client, an owner has a property and they are looking to list it, I will help them determine the market and say, you know, you need to be at about a 6.5 cap rate, 6.2 cap rate, whatever. And so we back into that, you know, based off of the cost of the property and the rate of return.
Okay. Right. Okay. I got it. All right. So now the question then becomes for me, is there, what are the best opportunities right now that you're seeing in commercial real estate where you're seeing, you're going, wow, these are some golden opportunities, I think, right now.
So it's interesting you should say that. The properties that I find, one, I have to have a client that's ready, ready to move. The properties that come up that are great buys, they're not on the market long. I'm telling you, you know,
this isn't like doing house shopping.
No, you can't drag your feet on anything. You have to be ready. You have to be prepared the bank and ready and saying, okay, when this property comes available, I'm ready to go look at it that day. Right. I'm ready to get an LOI in, letter of intent, and start that process. Because if you don't, you are going to lose that property. But, I'd say, you know, those properties are in areas that we see, you know, growth happening. When you see that, you know, Apple's coming in or Amazon, you know, is coming in. Right. Those are the areas that all of a sudden become a boom. So recently, Sanford has seen a lot of growth. Clayton, even before that, had seen a lot of growth.
Right.
And they're still, you know, I don't see an end in sight.
No,
Clayton is a great area. Correct.
Yeah.
So when you find, you know, and Dunn, Wilson, Zebulon.
Wendell.
These are areas you are seeing growth happen.
Right.
And so my clients have me look for properties in those areas. And they may have a specific field that they're good at. You know, they deal in warehouse, or they deal in multifamily, or retail. I look for properties and present them to my clients. I have a handful of clients that they're constantly looking. It's an everyday thing. They're just looking to put money to put 1031 exchange money, to take money out of the stock market, to put it into a more secure. But we look at those properties, and I'd say some of the things I've been doing recently that have been great are corner lot on high visibility streets and areas with a lot of growth. And then we contact and we talk with Sheetz, we talk with Starbucks, we talk with things that aren't in the area that are national chains. And there's a lot of opportunity there. A lot of times they'll do a long-term lease and we'll give you as, you know, as much as, you know, if you were to sell that property with the Sheetz on it.
Right.
And at the end of that lease, you still own that property.
Right.
So you're doubling up. It's a long term. So that's been one of the most popular things I've been dealing with lately.
That's pretty cool. You know, I've heard this. Now you tell me if this is true here in Raleigh. I've heard that there have been 100-year leases.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that true?
Absolutely. You know, I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know if you know my background, but I started in retail. I did 17 years of retail in the clothing industry.
Okay.
I had a boutique in Cameron Village for 12 years. And during that time, I was directly across the street from Nowell's. They had a 40-year lease. Okay. And at the end of their 40-year lease, I mean, they were paying... You know, 40 years ago, what rental rates were, they had no idea that Cameron Village and Crabtree would be, and I think it's Merrick Park in Charlotte, the three highest rents in the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
So they were getting an amazing deal. They had this huge space in Cameron Village. And when their lease came up, they're like, you know, this is our new rent. Well, obviously they moved. They changed locations and everything because of the size of the store.
It's not unheard of.
It's not unheard of.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right. If you could get the piece of land up front.
Correct.
Right. And don't sell it. Lease it.
Correct. And then you can turn around and sell it with that lease, and that brings your cap rate up. You know, that brings the value up.
Wow.
You can come in and get, you know, you see this happen a lot, even with like Dollar Generals. That's a big thing. They get these.
By the way, they can be in the middle of nowhere.
They thrive in the middle of nowhere. The surprising thing is how well these dollar stores actually do. Dollar General, the dollar, you know, there's three or four of them, and they do really well. And so someone will build, you know, find an area in a rural area, and they don't have a whole lot around, and they build the building. You know, they come out, they buy the land, they build the building, they get the lease, they get the Dollar General in there, and then they turn around and sell it. And now someone has a pretty secure investment on a long-term lease. And great, great, safe investment.
So, you know where Beaufort, North Carolina is.
Oh, of course.
Right?
I was there last week.
Okay, so was I. Okay, so you know 101 in Beaufort that you could take around the back end and it comes out in Havelock?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And you go down 101, which, by the way, there's nothing on 101.
Nothing.
But there about in the midway of 101 is this Dollar General store.
Well, you know, we were talking about that earlier about how... You know, the value of even residential is if when things start to grow around it, when you start having, you know, amenities, you start having restaurants, you start having grocery stores, that's when the value of the properties come up.
Right.
And so the same thing, you know, if you've got to drive 30 or 40 minutes to the grocery store, you know, if you can go to the Dollar General that's around the corner.
Pick up your necessities, right? You forgot the frozen spinach.
Thirty minutes there, thirty minutes back.
You get the frozen French bread that's in the freezers that they have there, right?
And that's throw it exactly in the oven. Right.
That's pretty cool. All right. So we still have some great opportunities.
Yes.
Is there... Now, there's some people who are thinking, okay, maybe this is where I want to invest some money. Is there some lower cost opportunities that people might think about?
Well, I mean, going back to what I was talking about, you know, finding properties that a business like a Sheetz or a Starbucks would want. You know, I have done three deals, and I'd say in the past 12 months that have been in growing areas that we identified that there's not this, this, and this business. I mean, it could be a Dunkin' Donuts. There's a lot of chains that want to be in certain areas that aren't there yet. So we look at property, and you're buying land. You know, and you can pick up, some land that you could put a Sheetz on.
Right.
$150,000 sometimes, depending on the area, and you can really make a good return.
So part of then, I guess, the strategy in commercial real estate would be to pay attention to what's coming in. Where is the areas, you know, like we just talked about Clayton, which is outside, but maybe you start expanding a little bit further outside of Clayton. Maybe you start going between Clayton and Smithfield.
Correct.
Right. And you go, well, you know, this looks like a pretty nice piece of property that's near the highway, you know, or maybe, you know, where I could see this connecting up.
When you see growth happening, when you hear of, you know, like again, an Amazon or a big corporate company coming in, BMW plant, whatever it may be, you know that there needs to be housing. There needs to be, it's going to have to develop and grow. Well, when there's housing and people are working there, you need grocery stores, you need shops, you need stores, and that's when everything happens. But you look at the center area, and if you miss that boat, your next bet is just outside of that
area. So the next ring.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to spread the further out. I mean, if you think about Raleigh and the home prices and everything and how people are moving just outside of Raleigh, and you look at Holly Springs and different areas.
Which has grown
exponentially.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's years ago, that was where you would target. That was where you would look at. Okay, Raleigh, there's not, you know, there's still opportunity in Raleigh, but to hit a home run, to find something just out. What's the next big area?
Right.
Where is this growth going to push towards?
Right.
And Sanford has been, you know, anything outside of Sanford, to, you know, Smithfield, what is that, to 30, Clayton.
35 miles?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a little bit of an outer ring?
Correct.
There?
Yeah.
In there as well? Because it used to be, when I first moved here, back in the early 90s, when I first moved to Raleigh.
Yeah.
Zebulon was, you didn't even consider Zebulon and Wendell.
No. As a Raleigh.
And Clayton, by the way.
Well, and as a Raleigh native, I think it's funny. I was born and raised here. I was born at the old Rex Hospital. You know, I meet people and they say, well, I'm from Raleigh. And then, you know, well, I'm from Raleigh. And they go, well, I'm from Zebulon, or I'm from, Fuquay Varina, or wherever it may be. Those places have really started to grow.
They really have, and people don't mind, because as we've built better infrastructure via highways and things like that, and we have the 540 outer loop, which makes things more accessible to us, and 264, which has made things really accessible.
That's a great point. 540 has really brought that ring to expand.
Right.
You know, your Smithfield, Zebulon areas that really, without the accessibility to Raleigh, you know, they're working in Raleigh, but they want to find an affordable home with some land, you know, at an affordable rate. They move 15, 20, 25 minutes outside of Raleigh, and they don't mind the commute. And especially with people moving from up north, they're used to commuting.
Right.
You know, they may live 25, 30 minutes outside of the city.
Right, because it may be 35 minutes just getting on a subway to get to work, right? Or, you know, exchanging trains, exchanging buses, or whatever.
They're used to that 45-minute commute, or maybe even an hour.
Right, right.
Which, you know, being Raleigh boy, you know, I'm like, man, 25, 30 minutes.
And we were kind of complaining about it, right? Because we live in town.
Right. I have property in Clayton, flex warehouse space that I've obviously go out and check on my property and talk with tenants and everything. And I don't mind it now, but boy, when I first started to do it, I was like, man, this is a drive. And it's not a drive.
It's not a drive,
right? Not at all.
Not at all. Because it's really easily accessible.
It's become very, you know, and infrastructure and you know, that has a lot to do with what areas are going to grow. So when they, you know, a new highway is coming in or a new bypass is coming in a certain area, okay, that means growth. Right. Where do you target? You target on main road frontage, you know.
So you got to have a little vision. Part of this is having a little vision.
Sure.
Now you're
knowing trends.
Right, knowing trends. Now you're a big fan of flex warehouse space.
I am.
And so explain to people why flex warehouse space is something that you really are a big fan of.
So flex warehouse, flex space is definitely, it opens up to many types of tenants. It can be a fully retail. It can be a distribution center where they're strictly using it for storage. Just to give some examples of my personal property, I have a sunroom company. They have a little bit of a showroom, but really it's for storage and their doors and their windows and everything. I have an HVAC company. I have churches. I have a gym. I have a mixed martial arts studio out there. I have the largest scuba gear company. I don't want to say it's the entire East Coast, but it was surprising to me how large of a reach they have. They do search and rescue. Wow. They train about four states of people who search and rescue for diving and recovery of vehicles that may go into lakes or whatever. But there's just so much different types of businesses that can go into a flex space. They can utilize 50% as office or showroom and 50% as storage, or as little, you know, as little of office or warehouse space as they need. So it's just built to suit.
Right.
So if someone comes in and say, I have a custom closet client of mine, that, you know, he grows his showroom or inventory, you know, he needs more space in the back, you know, it's all adjustable.
So here's another thing for investors. If you're new to this investment piece, is like, okay, maybe think, get your land, but then maybe think flex space.
Absolutely. I think too, you can build flex space, fairly cheap.
Right.
You can go high end, you know, but you can build it cheap. You can offer a good rate. Another thing that I think is interesting that I've been doing a lot of lately is storage.
I was going to ask, that was the next thing that was going to come out of my mouth is, I've heard people say storage is a great, and you're nodding.
Well, okay. So if you think about this, if you have a warehouse or a flex space and it's a 10,000 square foot building, if you lease that 10,000 square feet to one person, it's less rent coming in. If you break them up into 1,000 square feet, I'm just making up numbers.
Right, no, that's fine.
You have 10 tenants, you can get more per space at 10 tenants than you can for one
tenant
buying 10. So the same concept, if you think about storage, you're doing a much smaller square footage. Right. So you can, you know, you can get a 500 people paying, you know, $250 a month versus, you know, and I don't know the math here, but, you know, you can get a lot more when you're utilizing smaller space.
So
it's the same concept of one person taking a 10,000 square foot space versus 10, 1,000 square feet spaces, or 100 square foot spaces of storage.
Right.
So you will get a better return.
Oh, see, I love that. Okay. We got a little bit of time left here.
Sure.
And so I thought maybe, you know, because we just got a couple minutes, can you real quickly talk about opportunity zones?
Yeah. So in 2017, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina and a bipartisan bill that was passed to help urban and rural areas with economic decline. You know, I was talking about Henderson and you brought up like Lizard Lick. Okay. How do you get an investor to come in and say, I want to put some money and help revitalize this area?
Yeah. Lizard Lick. Yeah.
You don't get an investor to say, they look at that area and say, it's not, there's nothing in it for me.
It's a railroad track.
You have to incentivize them. Well, how do you incentivize them and make it fair to everybody? Right. You know, so it was created again in 2017. Over the past 6 years, it's brought $100 billion, and this is across the United States. So the right. federal government said, we're going to show these pockets of depressed areas. South Saunders Street in downtown Raleigh was some of the areas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so it's not total. I mean, they're just depressed areas. They're areas that they said, we'd like to see economic growth. We'd like to see the communities, right. you know, get some help.
Right.
And so they determined that these are the areas. They took a map and they said, these are where we, you know, so they lineated whatever the term is. They said, this area right here is going to be an opportunity zone. Okay. We want to see people come and bring money into this area. So with that said, you know, they brought in $100 billion over the last 6 years. Last year alone, I think close to $38 billion. And what the incentive is, and as a real estate broker, we're told, you know, first you go and speak to the professional, whether that's lawyers, accountants,
right.
and even opportunity zones. But I'm gonna give you a little kind of brief outline of it. So they give an incentive by giving a tax break. So if you were to buy a property for, say, $1 million, 100,000, I'm just making up a number here, but say you bought this property and it was $1 million, you were required to, first, you have to create a fund, and it has to be into this fund. The fund has to do this. But you buy the property for $1 million, you have a time limit on when you have to reinvest another $1 million, at least. You can put more into that property. Right. So say you find a property and you go, you know, a hotel would be great here. You buy this property for $1 million, you put $25 million into building this hotel. Right. If you keep that property for 10 years in this fund, you are then only taxed on the purchase value of the property. So you have $26 million invested, but your tax value, as long as you keep it after the 10 years, becomes a $1 million tax liability.
Wow. So yeah. Just so that we can revitalize the area.
So it brings jobs, right. It brings economic growth. When you start to, you know, bring business in, other things grow. You know, other people come in and you can do, it's not limited to, you know, hotels. It could be multifamily. It could be a warehouse. It could be shopping centers, malls, you know, grocery stores, areas with flex space, any of the above.
That's beautiful.
But it's just, it's been a great tool that, you know, we've seen a lot of good things happen from that.
You know, we did 30 minutes already.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. Dude, you're awesome. Tell people.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you as well as your lovely wife, Linda. Linda and I work together on commercial deals and just think the world of both of y'all. So thank you for having me in.
No, this is fun. This is really great. You were really informed. Tell people how to get a hold of you.
HTR Commercial, Rob Ward. Okay.
You got an email address you'd like to share?
Yeah, 22reward@gmail.com.
How about a phone number?
919-656-1281. That's my cell.
That's beautiful. Rob, thanks so much. Folks, you know, this is the show. Thank you for joining us. You had a lot of choices. You chose us. I really do appreciate it. Listen, as I say to you everywhere all over the world, ciao, everybody. Living if you're dreaming small.